Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time to be able to come into this place and to worship you. Lord God, as in just a few moments we are going to take time to receive communion, to follow in a step of obedience that you have instructed us to do, I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, that you would help each one of us that know you and follow you to look into ourselves, to turn over anything that needs to be turned over to you, confess to you, and then to worship you through a time of communion this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the last 3 weeks, we've been working through the first three books of Galatians. And we've talked about how Paul shared with the Galatian church that you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And then the Judaizers came into the picture and they added to that and said, yes, that is true, but also you need to be Jewish. So now it involves something that we need to do. And Paul comes back and tries to clear up that mess and says, no, it's just through faith that we're saved. And then this morning, the next section really of passage that we're going to be looking at in Galatians is the last few verses of chapter 3 and the first few verses of chapter 4. But we're not doing that till next week. And the reason is because I messed up in my series weeks, and this is an exciting day today called Worldwide Communion. And I don't like just throwing communion onto the end of what we're already doing. I think it's too important to do that with. So we're going to be focusing this morning on the idea of communion and what we do and why we do it when we take and receive communion together. This weekend, around the world, there will literally be millions and millions of people that have already received communion or are receiving communion. And that's an exciting thing, to be able to be a part of that, that obedience to what we're instructed to do, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we've been talking about our relationship with Christ and the need to have faith in Jesus Christ over these last weeks, we really are talking about having faith in what He has done for us. We need to have faith that Jesus walked the earth and ministered to the people. We need to have faith that Jesus was ultimately put on a cross and He died because of people that hated Him and hated His purpose, hated what He was there for. We need to have faith that Jesus, as prophesied, rose from the grave and claimed victory over death. We need to have faith that a relationship with this Jesus is a bridge to a relationship with the Father and is so critical in regards to our eternity. What we celebrate today is what Paul has been telling the Galatian church in the first three chapters of Galatians. Our need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Savior, gives us instructions in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in regards to what we're doing today. So if you have one of the church Bibles, I encourage you to open up with me. We're just going to read a few verses. It's page 812. Otherwise, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to go to verse 23. And picking up about halfway through verse 23, it says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then it goes on to verse 27, and this is so, I feel like, such an important piece of communion. It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. This morning, I really want to just remind us that Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper. Jesus gave us this thing that we're going to be doing in just a few moments called communion, so that we might feed on and be refreshed by Him. I think too often we have a view of communion that's overly self-reflective and guilt-driven. I think a lot of times we think that this time that we're gathering this morning is primarily about what I need to do to fix things in my life. I know that that's true for me too many times. I need to remember and confess, you know, every sin that I've committed this last week or these last weeks. I need to feel guilty for how I've fallen short of God's desire in my life. And with this kind of thinking, we really are making communion about us and our sins instead of about Jesus, His love, and His grace for us. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, verse 27 that we just read, it tells us that communion, as believers, when we go into communion, we need to be at a right place with God. So by all means, as believers that have gathered here this morning and we come to the communion table, make sure that you're in the right place with God as you do that. Deal with things that need dealt with before you come to the table this morning. But for most of us, following Christ this morning, the reality is we come in here on Sunday probably aware of how sinful and undeserving we are. We bring our burdens and our pains in here, and we need God to refresh us with His grace. We bring our doubt and our fears into this room, and we need God to grant us assurance. We come aware of our sins and how messy we are, and so we need the gospel of free grace applied to our hearts. And that is exactly why God gave us the Lord's Supper. This isn't what we do once we've gotten things right on our end. We do it believing that God makes us right through the blood and through the body of Jesus. Certainly, this is a time to confess our sins, but instead of trying to clean ourselves up or staying in a place of guilt, come to Jesus in communion as an act of faith, where you say He is the answer and He alone is what you need. Communion is not about our worthiness or our fitness, but about the worthiness of Jesus and how He, in amazing grace, makes us fit to sit at the table with God. As you eat and drink this morning, do so with an awareness that Jesus is still today, at this moment, a sufficient Savior for all of our sins, and He offers to us grace to help in any situation that we might be up against. I pray that as we take the physical objects this morning of the bread and the juice, that God gives us a powerful taste of the forgiveness and fullness that comes from knowing Jesus. Communion is an invitation, not for those who got everything under control, for those that look like they're just great people from the outside, right? It's the invitation for sinful and weak people in need of Christ's grace. Jesus invites us to come in communion. He says, "All who are thirsty, come. All who are weak, all who are wounded, come. All who are aware of their sin and in need of my grace, come." That's the invitation that Jesus gives to us. As you chew the bread this morning, remember and find hope in the fact that Jesus' body was crushed under wrath so that you can be saved by His grace. As you drink the juice, remember and rejoice that Jesus' blood paid the price for our unrighteousness and purchased our redemption. That's what we're celebrating this morning. I'm going to ask that those that are helping serve, if you want to make your way up, Al, if you want to make your way up and prepare the table on this side, and Mark, if you want to get what you need. Just a couple of housekeeping kind of things as we prepare to receive communion. First of all, we're just going to come down the main aisles as we normally do. Once you've received communion, you can go out the outside wings and back to your chair. It just helps with the flow that way. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you understand why we're receiving communion, you're invited to come and participate and be a part of communion here at Fairland. It's an open table. There's no requirements of membership or certain ages or anything like that. So we invite you to take that step of obedience and following Christ if you know Him personally. Once you've come up and received the communion, take it back with you to your seat and eat and drink in your own time. For some of you, that might be as soon as you sit down. For others, you might want to sit and spend a little bit of time in prayer with God. For some, you might want to sit and just reflect on some of the songs that are being played. When you are ready to, go ahead and eat and drink, remembering Christ and the sacrifice that He's made for us so lovingly. And just the last word of instructions is, if you are not able to come to the front and you would like somebody just to come and serve you, if you just discreetly just raise your hand, Mark Brandt will be up here and he'll make sure that you get what you need in order to receive communion this morning as well. At the end, when everybody is taken, I'll close us out with a word of prayer, at which time our worship team is going to come forward and they're going to close us in this wonderful hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy." What a great way to just focus us on God's holiness, His worthiness of our lives and our love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in just a moment we are going to have opportunity to come forward to receive these elements. The bread symbolizes your body broken and bruised. The juice, which symbolizes your blood shed. All because of your incredible love for us. We've been talking a lot over these last weeks, Lord God, about the need to have faith in You. And it's because of that faith in You that we come forward this morning and remember Your love for us. So help us, Lord God, not to make this about ourselves, not to make this about the failures in our life and put the focus on that. Yes, we need to take care of that business, absolutely. But help this to be truly a time of honoring and worshiping and praising you and what you did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.